We're now ready to move into the 12th chapter of Proverbs. This 12th chapter of Proverbs has the same format as the 11th chapter, in that each verse is a separate, independent lesson. There's not a central theme running through this chapter that we can tie these verses into. Each verse is a separate proverb. It's a separate lesson unto itself. So verse 1 says, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." He's talking in this verse about those who would love to be instructed from the Word of God and who would learn to gain knowledge from the Word of God. The thing which separates humans from any other animals is the possession of the human spirit. Both humans and the beasts of the field have the body and life in the body, but only man has a spirit which is able to live without the body. And this spirit has some unusual qualities. The spirit of humans can be dead to the things of God while the body's alive. Then the spirit is dead to God. So we can have such a body that's alive and full of all kind of energy and vigor, but the spirit can be completely ignorant of the things of God and be dead to God. We read about this in Colossians 2:13. He says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." So there was a time before forgiveness of our sins that we were dead in our sins. We were dead to God. But after forgiveness of sins, then we became alive to God. Also, the spirit of humans can be dead to the evil things of the world while the body is alive. Then the spirit is alive to God. We read in Colossians 2:20, "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances?" So while we're with Christ, our spirit is actually dead to these things of the world. So it doesn't respond to worldly things like the spirit would if it were not alive to God. And when a person obeys the gospel, he changes from a spirit which was dead to God to a spirit which is alive to the things of God. Ephesians 2:1-5 teaches this to us. Let's read those verses. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we're dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved." So once we become obedient to the gospel, once we get our sins forgiven, then we have this life given to us in our spirits. We're no longer dead in sins. We're dead to sin. And we're alive now with Christ. This change, which occurs to make our spirits alive in Christ and dead to sin, comes as a result of our learning about and obeying God's law. And that's where this proverb comes in here to teach us something when he says, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge." Here's where we learn about God's law, by loving instruction and attaining this knowledge that comes from that. In Ephesians 4:17-24, he speaks along this line, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So this verse really sheds more light on what it means to love instruction and love knowledge. It's through instruction that we learn not to walk like the other Gentiles walk. It's through instruction from God's Word that we don't walk in the vanity of our mind, that we don't have the understanding darkened, and that we're not alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. because our heart is blind. Instruction changes all of that. Without instruction, we are past feeling. That is, we don't have a conscience to feel right from wrong. We've given ourselves over to work uncleanness and lasciviousness and to be greedy. But after we are instructed from the Bible, we've learned something from Christ. We've learned from Christ. If we've heard Him, if we've been taught by Him, we learn that we put off the old way of life that we had, the old man, that corrupt way, which goes according to deceitful lust, and we be renewed in the spirit of the mind. We've learned now the truth that's in Jesus, and we put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And all this comes through being instructed, through learning something from God's Word. So our proverb says, if we love instruction, then we will love to receive this knowledge of God in Christ and this law of God. We want to be instructed out of this law. We want to grow in knowledge. This all comes from the Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures given to us by God. So He says, whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. That's just a fact that we have to accept. And if we want to live according to it, fine. If we don't, we still then can't change the fact that it is a fact. And we can be in ignorance all we want to be, but the fact is, to get knowledge, we must love instruction. But if we do not like this instruction from God's Word, if we prefer not to be instructed from God's Word, then we prefer to remain ignorant, and this ignorance further separates us from God. Our spirit is dead to God, and we become more like the beast of the field. He that hateth reproof is brutish, this proverb says. The word brutish comes from the Hebrew word meaning to graze like an animal. We do not want to be corrected. We do not want to see our faults. We don't want to change to God's ways. So this is certainly like the beast of the field. We're brutish. We might as well be out there grazing in the pasture like the other beast of the field. When our spirit is dead in sin and we're not alive to God, we will perish like the beasts. In Psalm 49, verses 10 through 12, for he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses will continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He's like the beast that perish. So our bodies are going to all perish like the beast of the field. But if we don't realize that there is a God and that we need to serve God, we're going to place all of our wealth in these earthly things which are going to be given to others. They're going to perish. And so we will have nothing left for us. So the proverb says again, verse 1, Proverbs 12, verse 1, whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. We want to love instruction. We want to be instructed out of God's Word. We want to have this knowledge that we get that which separates us from the beast of the field. Our next proverb is found in verse 2, which says, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. Some of the more profound statements in the Bible are very brief, and that is true of this proverb. It is certainly true that those who are good, in the sense of being obedient to God, are favored by God. And those who have wicked devices are going to be condemned by God. And we have some verses of Scripture to verify this. And one of the verses I'd like to point out is in Isaiah chapter 58, verses 8 through 11. Let me read these verses. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear guard. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord will answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, and if thou draw thy soul out to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as a noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Now these verses are talking very specifically about the benefits of being a follower of God. Here, this person who follows God is going to have the light to break forth as the morning, and the health to spring forth speedily. We'd all like to have that, for our health to spring forth speedily before us. We have a little sickness to get well real fast. The righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be the rear guard. He says, then thou shalt call, and the Lord will answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. How nice it is to be able to have a problem and to call on the Lord and have the Lord to answer. Have the Lord to say, here I am. I'm ready to help you. If thou take away from thee the midst of thee the yoke and the putting forth of the finger and the speaking vanity, that is, stop doing these things that are bad, harmful to others. If thou draw thy soul out to the hungry, that is, you're going to help those who have need, you satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness shall be as a noonday. For the darkest time to be like the noonday, what a blessing that would be, but that's how the follower of God is going to have it. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. To think of it, the Lord to guide you continually. Every time we have a problem, we have a decision to make, the Lord is there to guide and to help us. And satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. Thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. So the picture here of the follower of God is a beautiful picture, and one we'd all like to have happen to us. But this proverb says, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. And I'd like to read another passage from Isaiah showing that. Isaiah 32, verses 5 through 7, and this is the NIV version. For the fool speaks folly, his mind is busy with evil, he practices ungodliness, and spreads error concerning the Lord. The hungry he leaves empty, and from the thirsty he withholds water. The scoundrel's methods are wicked. He makes up evil schemes to destroy the poor with lies, and even when the plea of the needy is just. So the fool is different. The evil person is different. He speaks folly. His mind is busy with evil. He practices ungodliness and spreads error concerning the Lord. He's just the very opposite of what God wants. He's spreading error. He's spreading false doctrine. He's saying things he ought not to say. Concerning the Lord. The hungry he leaves empty, and from the thirsty he withholds water. Here's a person who's hungry, he doesn't feed him anything. He keeps him from eating. Here's a person who's thirsty, he holds water back from him. He keeps him from getting water. Just the opposite of what the person who follows God would do. The scoundrel's methods are wicked, and he makes up evil schemes. So his methods, the very purpose and plans that he has are wicked. They are not godly. They're not according to what's good and right and proper, but they're according to things that are evil. He makes up evil schemes, the word says here. And he does this to destroy the poor with lies. This man's a liar, and he uses his lies to destroy the poor, not to do them any good. He's not going to help them or aid them. He's going to do them harm. And even when the plea of the needy is just. Here the needy is making a cry for help, and it's a just cry. He is truly in need, but this person holds it back from him. So we can see then the difference in the righteous person and the unrighteous person. And we can see how that the unrighteous are going to be condemned by the Lord, whereas the good man is going to have the favor of the Lord. In Proverbs 13, verse 15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. So the good understanding, that's going to get the favor of God, but the way of the transgressor, that's a hard way to go. If you want to be a transgressor, you've chosen a hard way to go. The way of the transgressor is a hard way. So that's what the teaching of this proverb is in the second verse of chapter 12. Let's read that proverb again. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. We have a choice. We can be the good man. We can be the man of wicked devices. We can have the favor of the Lord, or we can be condemned by the Lord. We close our lesson at that point. Next time we will begin with the third verse of Proverbs chapter 12. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.